Ezekiel chapter 20. I'd like to tell you how much I appreciate your faithfulness to come to the services and praise the Lord. Your singing is always just precious and wonderful. When I think about that, I think about this. Every one of you are priests unto God. The New Testament tells us that. Every single believer in a church relationship is a priest unto God. You're a holy priesthood, a peculiar people. And you have the privilege, we have the privilege, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's one reason that I personally rejoice so much in your singing. Where else can you, in a congregational relationship, offer up praise and thanksgiving to God, every single one of us? Now, we know that church order, the scriptures teach us that in the church, women are not to speak, especially as it regards tongues and prophecy, that is, expounding scripture. But my, how can you come together and sing praises to God, every single one of us? It just blesses my soul. And I'm so grateful and happy for that. Just thank you for being faithful. Boy, you know, Brother Craig doesn't even have to skin the bark off to get you to come. You're here all the time, every time. Just so wonderful to think about. Let me pray, and we'll read a few verses, and we'll begin our message today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we pray that you will help us, that we might speak your word with boldness and clarity. Open our ears that we might hear and be strengthened and encouraged. If there are those here that do not know you, Lord, we pray that as we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might bring them to salvation and service. We pray you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Reading from Ezekiel chapter 20, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 7. And as our custom is, we will go through the whole chapter. And it came to pass in the 7th year, in the 5th month, the 10th day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day when I chose Israel and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them, Cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. We've been preaching through the book of Ezekiel. Some wonder, why do you spend so much time in an Old Testament book when we are a church of the New Covenant? The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Paul said that to Timothy when he said all Scripture, the New Testament was not yet finished, was in writing, was talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. There's so much I could say about that. Suffice us to say that it's a marvelous, marvelous book that we study. Remember that the prophet Ezekiel was among those who were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and his army. He was, I think, among the princes and the mighty men of valor taken to Babylon. Remember, the king left the poor in the land. Now, as he writes this, he is in the land where he was given these words to record for us and for Israel. You recall that Ezekiel was the prophet to the whole house of Israel, not just Judah. Now, in verses 1 through 4 that we read, the elders came to inquire of the Lord in the 7th year, the 5th month, and the 10th day of the month. Almost a year before, they had come to inquire to Ezekiel. Back in the 8th chapter, we read that it came to pass in the 6th year and the 6th month and the 5th day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell there upon me. So it had been almost a year. And now they come again. And the Lord told the prophet, tell them, as I live, thus saith the Lord God, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord, I will not be inquired of by you. God's judgment has fallen on this city and its inhabitants, and they've been carried away to this land. In verses 5 through 9, Ezekiel relays God's message to them to tell them about the abominations of their fathers, what they had done, to remind them of why they were in this predicament that they were in. I read down through verse 7. Let's pick up with verse 7. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. These folks knew their history. There's no question that they remembered how God had delivered them out of Egyptian bondage by a great and mighty hand, and how he had destroyed Pharaoh and his armies in the Red Sea. Still, they let themselves be turned away from the God who had delivered them and brought them to this wondrous land. in verses 10 through 26, Ezekiel continues to show them how they committed abomination after being brought out of Egypt. Verse 10. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despise my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despise my judgments and walk not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths. For their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, and that they caused to pass through the fire all that opens the womb, that I might make them desolate, to the end that they might know I am the Lord. So, not only those who came out of Egypt, but their children turned away from the Lord and the Lord's ways. And the Lord gave them statutes that were not good. I really think that's what's happening in our own land, that we've been given laws that are not good because we're under the judgment of God. I've taken a lot of criticism for saying that, but I believe if you look at all that has gone on just this year in this country, you'd have to say that God's judgment has fallen upon the land. There's not a one of us here tonight or this afternoon that doesn't realize that God has his way in the storm. God sends the storm. God has his way in the earthquakes. And our land is burning with fire almost across the whole western part. The floods have destroyed so much. And the laws, so many of them are wicked. The judges are horrible. But we're not a Christian nation. Never were. Thank God that there were men with Christian principles who came here. And that, a lot of that has been carried on by the Lord's churches since, but we were never, ever a Christian nation. The nation that is a Christian is the Lord's church, not a political nation. Now, in verses 27 through 32, Ezekiel enumerates their idolatry and whoredom. Verse 27 says, "Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out there their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, What is the high place whereunto you go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after their abominations? For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, We will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone." One of the things that this nation did that so provoked the Lord was a form of idolatry where they took their children and offered them in the fires to these wicked, wicked idols. and take the little infant and put it into the white hot hands of this brazen idol, and the child would die. How many? The king Manasseh was a very famous man in this respect. And it says in one scripture that it's because of Manasseh's sins in this respect that he killed the innocents of the land. He took their lives by taking them through the fires of this idolatry. As a nation, we sit with blood on our hands in killing the innocent. We've taken the babies from the wombs of their mother. I can't even describe the horror of what happens here. You read that and you know that just as well as I do. And why do they do that? Because they're trying to hide their fornication and adultery. And they commit murder on top of it. I'm glad we had a man in this state that's got the backbone to stand up and say, at least he couldn't get a co-sponsor, but he said, we ought to call that what it is, murder. Amen. That man sat right here in this church some months ago when he was running for office, and I have all the respect in the world for Mr. David Eastman. And I wrote him a note and I told him so. I said, I'm behind you. Maybe no one else will agree with you, but I want you to know this preacher, and I believe my congregation believes the very same thing that I'm telling you. We have murdered thousands upon thousands upon thousands of innocent children, and we sit with blood on our hands, just like they did. We look at them, we say, how wicked! And are we not the same? I don't think any of you have done that, but I warn you ahead of time. Watch what you're doing. Keep yourself from fornication and such things, and you'll never have to be tempted to go and have someone destroy the baby out of your womb. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled, but God will judge adulterers and whoremongers as he judged Israel. Be careful, girls, you'll pay the price. You'll be the one who suffers. It's always that way. God give you the grace to follow him. Pray that he'll send you a good man who will love you and care for you and provide for you. And keep yourself pure and clean until that day. In verses 33 through 44, we read God's promise to bring Israel into the bond of the covenant when they come back to their land. We're going to study that for just a bit. Verse 33 and 34. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you're scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. Verse 35 and 36. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. And there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. Now think with me. Ezekiel was a prophet to the whole house of Israel. He's in Babylon with Judah, just part of the nation. But here, God says he will bring the nation into the bond of the covenant, not just Judah. And so many commentators read this and they say this is talking about when they come back from Babylon. But as we go through this, I think you will agree that's not true at all. This is speaking of the last times. By the way, the northern tribes, the 10 tribes, are where? While Judah is in Babylon, they're scattered in all of the places on the earth. Maybe not to the extent that they are today, but they're scattered as the king of Assyria took them away and put them in this land, and they were scattered. They didn't come back. Only a portion of Judah came back, and maybe perhaps a few of the others. And the Lord said, I'll bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with you, your fathers, in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. Now, I want you to hold your place and turn to the book of Hosea and look at chapter 2 and verses 14 through 20. Hosea, chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. This is the very same prophecy. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, speaking of Israel, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her her vineyards from thence, in the valley of Achor, for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, which means my husband, and shall call me no more Baali, which means my Lord. Now, Israel is the estranged wife of Jehovah. This speaks of the time when she's restored to the Lord, and that's in the very last days. This is Hosea's prophecy. Now, notice he says, for I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And watch this. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth. And I will make them to lie down safely. What's he talking about? He's going to tame the animals. He's going to defang the snakes. He's going to take the stings out of the scorpions. He's going to make all these critters peaceable that live with them in that day. Let me read it from another scripture. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Hosea said, I'll break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth. Isaiah says in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and many people shall say, go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Oh, I like what there was an old preacher that was a converted Jew. And he'd always say this. He said, I don't know if there's always going to be New York. And there may not be a Moscow. And Beijing may disappear from the earth. But there'll always be a Jerusalem. Always be a Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. And their spears and the pruning hooks, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Praise God. Oh, this is just, that's wonderful to think about. Let's read some more from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. He said he'd tame the beast. Verse 6, chapter 11, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. I love this. Oh, my, what a glorious time this is going to be. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, let's read on. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time, watch this, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the island of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. I'll bring them into the wilderness and I'll plead with them face to face. Now let's look at verse 37 in our text in Ezekiel chapter 20. and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. And they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now watch that last phrase. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. The nation as a whole will pass under the rod. It's an expression which shows a separation of the elect from the non-elect in Israel. God will bring them, the whole nation, into the bond of the covenant. What covenant? Not the old covenant, but the new covenant. It's the same covenant which the first members of the Lord's church were brought into when Jesus was on the earth. And the same covenant into which you and I, as Gentiles, have been grafted. What are the benefits of this covenant? Jeremiah 31 tells us, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more." You say, well, that says that's for Israel. That's true. That's true. We read this again in Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 8. Exactly word for word. What does that mean? It means that we have been brought into that new covenant. But when all of the, when the fullness of the Gentiles have come in, when the last Gentile convert is brought in and the Lord returns, then he will deal with Israel and he will bring them into the covenant. As a nation, they'll be born in a day and they'll be the head nation on earth. In that day, 10 men will take hold of the coat of a man that's a Jew and said, Give us, let us follow you. You know, I was talking with somebody about this the other day. Here's this little nation on the Mediterranean. They're not all there, but there's some Jews there. But they're scattered all over. And people hate them. Why? There's not a nation on earth except the Christians in the United States of America who influenced our leaders to stand with Israel. We're the only nation on earth that stands with them. And people hate them, and they don't even know why they hate them. They're born almost with that hatred in them. They want to kill them. They want to annihilate them. The Arabs every day say, let's annihilate them from the earth. And since 1948, when the nation was again established, how many times has God delivered them from the invading Arab hordes that come to destroy them from the earth? It's amazing that it's happened. Amazing it is. He said, I will purge out from among them the rebels, watch this, and them to transgress against me. He's going to take out those that are among the nation that are the rebels that are not part of his elect people. And those people will be barred from coming into the land of Israel. That's what this says. I bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye, the ones that are brought into the covenant, ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 39. A few minutes will be done. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye everyone his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. This is the same as saying to them, God saying to them, I would rather have you open idolaters than hypocrites. Think you can worship me and yet serve idols at the same time. You can't serve God and mammon. No. It's not a command to serve idols, but it's a judicial declaration of God's giving up the half-idol, half-Jehovah worshipers to their utter idolatry. Now stay with me here, because this is important. Verse 40. For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall A-L-L, the house of Israel, all the house of Israel, all of them in the land serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. The Lord God will bring them to their land. Hey, it is true when they say that the Arabs hate it, but they have a biblical foundation for the ownership of the land of Israel. And the Lord is preserving it. He's going to bring them back to their land, the land promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob forever. And in the land, all of the house of Israel, all of them in the land shall serve the Lord. And there in their land, the Lord will accept them in their land. Some of these shyster preachers are saying, this is the United States of America. So you're out of your mind. This is Israel. There will the Lord require their offerings. Oh, don't say that. They're going to reset up the animal sacrifices when they come back to the land of Israel. Somebody said, I don't see any reason for that. Well, bless God. He said they were going to. That's enough reason. I don't care whether you understand it or not. I don't care whether I understand it or not. He said it, and it's going to happen. They're going to do it again. In their land. That little country on the Mediterranean, by the way, it's going to change a lot. All these people these days saying, all of this can't happen. It's in the book of Ezekiel because the land won't accommodate it. But what they don't realize is that God's going to shake the land up. He said in the book of Zechariah that he was going to level the land. He was going to raise it up from Jerusalem south. He's going to spill all the water out of the Dead Sea. Things are going to change, folks. Is God able? Oh my, when he said, let there be light, and there was light, was he able? When he said, we'll create man in our image, was he able? Yes, he was able. He can do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Verse 41, he said, I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered. And I will be sanctified or set apart in you before the heathen or before the Gentile nations. When we come to chapter 40, I can't wait hardly to get there. I'm so antsy to get there. When we get to chapter 40, you're going to find out the details about the sacrifices and how that's going to happen. Somebody said, oh, you can't believe that. Hey, it's just like believing John 3:16. I can believe that. Verse 42 says, ye shall know that I'm the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to your fathers, and there shall you remember your ways. Not yet, but there you'll remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. You're going to know by experience that your God, who is a great, good, wise, and faithful God who performs his word, you're going to know. And in the land, you're going to loathe yourselves. They're going to cry like they've never cried before. Hosea says in chapter 5, I will go and return to my place till I acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Come and let us return unto the Lord, they'll say, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15-6:1. Zechariah is a marvelous book, and it talks about this mourning in chapter 12. Let's turn there with me, chapter 12. Let's read verse 10 through 14. Chapter 12, verse 10. You found it? You should be there by now. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they've pierced. Who's that? Jesus. I love this. He's going to be king over all the earth. This earth. They'll look on me whom they've pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. They shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the houses of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart and their wives apart, because they're weeping and sorry and crying and loathing themselves in the sight of God. They couldn't even stand the sight of one another. They had to get off in a place to themselves where they could mourn and where they could weep and where they could sob over their sins that they'd committed against him who was now sitting on the throne of David as the king over all the earth. Amen. Glory to God! And ye shall know that I'm the Lord, when I wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. See, this verse kind of acquaints us with the fact that all that God did and does for his people is out of pure mercy and grace. I told a guy the other day, I said, he's talking about how good I am. I said, ain't nothing good about me. I said, I needed a Savior. I needed the forgiveness of sin. I needed eternal life. I needed a Savior. Thank God for the blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. By the way, I just love this. I love to think about this. God chose me in Christ before the world was. Don't you accuse me of being a Calvinist. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. So I was in him before the world was. Then when Jesus came and he died on the cross, he died to save his people from their sins. That was me and that was you, whose names are already in the book of life. Doesn't that give you the all-overs? It just does. And I'm saved for how long? Eternally. Born of God. Have everlasting life. Shall never come into condemnation, but have passed from death unto life. Now I'm seated with him in the heavenlies. And when he appears, Christ who is my life, when he appears, then shall we all appear with him in glory. Praise God. Let me finish this right quick. We're almost done. Verse 45. This is the parable of the forest of the south field. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field. And say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein, and all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. This is a parable of the forest of the south field, which speaks of Jerusalem, which is south of Babylon. Babylon was to the north. And so it's talking about Jerusalem in a parable. It reiterates the details of God's judgment upon Judah and Jerusalem. And then in verse 49, this poor old prophet, then said I, ah, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? A fellow said to me one time, he said, we need to learn to teach people in parables. That's what Jesus did. I said, do you know why he taught in parables? He said, no, why didn't he speak in parables? I said, well, he told us why he did that. The disciples came in Matthew 13 and said to him, why speakest thou to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's why the Lord spoke in parables to the ones that couldn't hear, couldn't see, couldn't understand. Thanks be to God that most of you sitting here today have been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. God has shown great mercy and love to you. Let me ask you, do you know him? I'm not asking you if you're religious. I said, do you know Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior and Lord? Did he die for you on the cross and pay for your sins? Are you ashamed of him? Do you confess him in your life? Are you following him and doing his will? Do you worship him and love him?